Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and thanks for joining me for part two of our Stay at Home Worship podcast for my meditation on the scriptures for March 14th, 2021, entitled Blessing, based on our readings from Psalm 104 and the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. By the way, this sermon podcast is, as usual, the companion to our prayer and fellowship service, which will feature a blessing of the animals. So I hope you can attend with your pet if you have one. And if not, if you don't have a pet or can't be at Zoom worship, I hope you'll take some time today and in the coming days to pray for our animal companions. My mother would have loved a service like this because she loved animals. Growing up, we always had dogs, plus some turtles and hamsters. One brother even made pets of spiders for a while. And when later in her life, my mom moved back to her native Tennessee, to a farm no less, she acquired even more animals. There was a horse named Gypsy, a goat named Taj, goat spelled backwards, and as people in her rural neighborhood never seemed to spay their pets, but learned at some point that any animal they couldn't keep could just be dropped off at Ms. Audrey's. Well, my mom ended up with several stray dogs and a ton of cats. The cats mostly lived in the garage, thankfully, but it did all get out of hand. Luckily, at some point, we discovered that animal shelters, mostly on Long Island, New York, would send vans to Tennessee to pick up all those strays and find them good homes back north. After that, Ms. Audrey's animal shelter was shut down, except for her last pet. We were so worried about our mother after the death of her longtime friend and ancient German shepherd named Atticus, for Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird, of course. But soon enough, someone found one more stray dog that was perfect for Ms. Audrey, a fierce-looking but gentle-souled female dog, my mom's first lady dog, which she promptly named Lady. Now, my mom and I had a standing Sunday afternoon phone date for years. It being the Sabbath, the talk often turned to theology, and my mom liked to relate conversations she had had during the week with Lady, who was a very good listener. Mom liked to remind Lady of what dog spelled backwards was. And she also liked to tell Lady the story of the creation of the world. How God had made all there was, sun and moon and stars, earth and sky and water, all the plants and every animal you could ever imagine. And God thought it was all so wonderful. And then, my mom would say pointedly, God created human beings. Long pause. And God thought, maybe I should have quit while I was ahead. Well, I'm not going to suggest that God actually regretted making people, but it must have been quite a surprise, even a disappointment to God, to see human beings put themselves at the center of the universe, as if it was all about us. But of course, it isn't. And scripture does tell us that, if we pay attention. Nowhere is that clearer, perhaps, than in that glorious poem of creation, Psalm 104. This song of the created world does not begin with humans. They're mentioned in passing, but only appear on stage, so to speak, in verse 23. Sometime after the storks and rabbits and the trees of the Lord. And people aren't even the last to appear in this poem, for here they are not the culmination of creation, but just one among God's glories. Oh Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. That includes sea creatures and the great Leviathan, that mythic monster of the deep that in Job, for instance, is a mysterious and fearsome creature. But here, the Leviathan, this whale-like creature, has been created to play in the great ocean, like God's gigantic bath toy. If you've ever seen a whale jumping out of the water, they do look like they're having fun. So again, as in Genesis, we hear that humans did not come first. So why are we always putting ourselves first? And the irony is that by doing that, we have also put ourselves at risk. Ourselves and our planet and every living creature. Around 1 million animal and plant species are now threatened with extinction. And many of those extinctions are predicted to occur within decades, more than ever before in human history. Of course, extinction is part of the natural process of life on our planet. But the current pace of these extinctions is alarming scientists, and it is caused by us. And recently, it's been pointed out that even as the COVID vaccine is becoming more widely available, people will continue many of the wasteful habits the pandemic created, driving alone in their cars rather than taking public transportation, using disposable face masks, gloves, takeout food containers, bubble wrap for so much online shopping. There's a dilemma. The things we're doing to keep us safe are harming our world. And of course, we exacerbate systemic racism and classism with environmental injustice, as poor and minority communities bear a disproportionate burden of pollution and other environmental damage. Surely that's not God's aim for this planet and its creatures. For God so loved the world, Jesus says in John's gospel, that God gave God's only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God created the world and loved it. The world, the cosmos here in John, which means not only, not just humanity, but the whole created universe. God so loved all creation that God sent Jesus so that all creation might be made whole again. It's not about us. Not all about us, anyway. The book of Genesis tells us, the Lord God took the human and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. But it's been suggested that a better translation is to serve it and preserve it. To love it and enjoy it and honor it. All creation. The pets that make our lives so rich, the trees of the Lord, the birds and the goats and the sun and the moon, the lions and rabbits, springs of gushing water, people, and giant sea creatures that sport and play in the waves of God's magnificent ocean. The Bible begins in a garden. And urbanite that I am, I like to note that it ends with the book of Revelation in a city, but it's like no city I've ever seen. The crystal clear river of the water of life runs through it, and the tree of life stands at its center, bearing 12 kinds of fruit and leaves that are for the healing of the nations. There's a kind of environmental symbiosis described here, a vision not just of humanity restored, but of all creation working together, all creation healed and redeemed. The blessings of our pets in worship is for our pets, but also for their people. A reminder that it's not all about us. And this season of Lent is a good time to show some humility and to repent of the harm we have done to the environment by so short-sightedly looking to our own interests alone. The fish and the fowl, the rocks and the mountains, the earth and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it, as Psalm 21 says, and even the floods that clap their hands and the hills that sing together for joy. We are so lucky to live in such a beautiful world and to be allowed to help care for it. All those beautiful created things which are such a blessing to us. So let us resolve to try a little harder, a lot harder, to be a blessing to them. And to God alone be the glory. Amen.